The Zika virus isn't the only thing that seems to be spreading quickly in Brazil. So are the rumors that the surge in microcephaly cases there is not really caused by Zika at all. Some are blaming vaccines. Another story that's getting a lot of traction on social media is that the real culprit isn't mosquitoes carrying Zika, but pesticides used to control those mosquitoes. For a reality check on those rumors, we've reached out to Dr. David Morins. He's with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Morins, I gather that this theory was first put out there by doctors blaming a pesticide called pyraproxifen for the rise in microcephaly cases. Some have said that the case they have is pretty thin, but I'd be curious to know what your take is.
Well, it's certainly plausible, but we haven't heard enough scientific information to weigh in on whether it's real or not. But I can say that what we've heard about these cases of microcephaly and the epidemic of Zika, and now the possible chemical or pesticide exposure, are claims and statements that don't yet have scientific backing. So what we really need is more scientific information that looks at cause and effect rather than just association.
There are a lot of rumors around Zika right now. Is it getting confusing for a lot of people?
My sense is that even some scientists are confused. And part of the reason is because obviously something terrible is happening or is being reported. And we're unable so far to figure out exactly what the causal association is. That frightens people because it seems mysterious. And people think, well, if the scientists don't know what's going on, maybe it's really bad.
However thin the evidence is with the connection between Zika and pesticides, I mean, one of the chief tools in the fight against mosquito-borne infections is pesticides, and they often do have health side effects. Should we be worried about other impacts of the pesticides being used in the fight against those mosquitoes?
It's always good to worry, and it's not good to be complacent. And there was a time when DDT was being used for mosquito eradication, and we stopped using it because of harmful effects on the environment. So, in theory, some or many pesticides, when encountered in the wrong way, can be harmful. And, there are toxins that have been associated with microcephaly. So the theory that a pesticide could do it is not totally out of line, although there's no scientific evidence for it. And the chemicals that are being used have been tested for their ability to cause birth defects, and nothing's been found.
So that's the pesticides rumor. What about the vaccines rumor, that vaccines might cause microcephaly?
I would say that is beyond extraordinarily unlikely. I never want to say impossible, but this would be about as close to impossible as things can get.
And just overall, what is the state of the evidence linking Zika to microcephaly right now?
Well, it's complicated. There is a temporal geographic association, meaning the two things are happening at the same place at the same time, but that does not mean causality. And I think the way to think of it is like this, and this is a little bit complicated, that almost anything that gets to expose the fetus in the first trimester, whether that be a virus, many viruses can do this, or a chemical or a nutritional deficiency, many, many things can cause microcephaly. It's relatively common. So the idea that a virus could do this is familiar. The issue is that what the Brazilians are reporting is microcephaly at an extraordinarily high rate, higher than we've ever associated with any of these viruses except for rubella, which caused an epidemic 50 or so years ago in the United States. So the question is not, can a virus like Zika cause microcephaly? The question is whether all these cases of microcephaly are caused by Zika. And we don't know the answer to that in a definitive way, but I think what we're beginning to see, I think the way the evidence is falling out, is that some of these cases may actually be caused by the virus, but other cases may result from other causes, background causes, or from an increase in reporting, an increase in diagnosis. So there could be a certain percentage that are caused by Zika and a certain other percentage that are caused by other things.
You know, there is evidence of Zika virus in the brains of kids with microcephaly. Does that make the connection any more convincing for you?
Well, as I said, it makes the connection. Let me give you two answers to that. One is, it makes the connection for the very small number of babies or fetuses in which that detection has been made. But what about the thousands of others you know, in which that hasn't been made. We can't assume that because in 2 or 4 or 6 or 10 or 15 babies we find this association that it explains all the rest of them. That's one thing. And the other thing is that it's not inconceivable, since 80% of Zika infections in a mother are going to be in a parent. That is, she wouldn't know that she had the infection necessarily. How do we distinguish between the possibility that the virus got into the baby in the first trimester early enough to cause damage to the brain and then stayed there for months and months, as opposed to the baby had microcephaly for a totally unrelated reason and then months and months later got a Zika infection on top of that? We can't distinguish between those two in these cases that have been reported so far. There's one partial exception. There was a case report in the New England Journal of Medicine last week, I believe, in which the mother of a baby with microcephaly, who was delivered by cesarean section as a stillborn, that mother had a diagnosed infection, clinically diagnosed infection, at 13 weeks, and then the baby had Zika virus in the brain at 33 weeks. So, you know, that's more of an association because she had a consistent illness. But again, you can't prove a scientific reality by compiling several anecdotes, no matter how strong and no matter how true they are.
So let me ask you this, Dr. Morans, how close are researchers getting to clearing up some of the uncertainties, staunching the rumor mill, and maybe calming some worries?
Well, I'm afraid to say I don't think we're getting that close. And the reason is because the only way we can get an answer to this question is by epidemiologic studies. And those studies take a long time. There's just no way to speed them up. These are studies in populations where you have to find people and ask them questions and, in many cases, follow them through time. For example, find 2,000 pregnant women and enroll them in your study and follow them for 9 months and then additional months after the birth of their baby. Those things can't be done quickly. So, you know, those definitive answers are not forthcoming in the immediate future, I don't think. And the other thing is in much of South America, you know, they are ending their summer, and they will be heading into their winter. I would expect that the cases in Brazil will become much fewer in the coming months. So the ability to get to the bottom of the problem is going to very likely start diminishing.
Dr. David Morans at the National Institutes of Health, thanks very much. That helped a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you.